The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addict, Ralph Sutton, the SDR Show. I got to say, I had a lot of fun with this guy. His name is John Gabrus. You may know him from Comedy Bang Bang. He's been on College Humor a bunch of times, been in some movies, been on 30 Rock. Just a really fun, cool guy. Really enjoyed having him on. He has his own podcast as well, where he used to drive people around and do the podcast from his car, and they gave up on that once they almost got into an accident. But a really cool dude. Just once in a while, you get a guy on that's just funny and gets it, and John is one of those guys. Remember, we do the show every Wednesday, every Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. And if you subscribe to Gas Digital, not only do you get 20% off, not only do you get a 7-day free trial, I've talked about this all the time, the forums, the chats, the HD, the commercial-free, all that good stuff. Use the code SDR Gas Digital. Try it out for a few days. This episode, you could have heard 5 days earlier. But really, the most important thing, spread the love everywhere. We just finished our best month ever. So thank you all that is spreading the love and getting people out there to listen to the show. That's all we care about. As we grow and grow and grow, it makes us very happy. Here it is right now, the John Gabrus episode of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show.
It is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back with me once again, I will say, the most frequent co-host other than Big J Ogerson. It is James Madden. How are you, buddy?
Buddy, I might get emotional now. That makes me feel good. Let's get
the goddamn thing. I think you are, right? It's fair. And by the way, you did the nicest thing last week. You texted me and said, is it okay to add the SDR Show to my credits? I'm like, I wish Big J thought that way, but I appreciate it.
I love this show, man. I have more fun on your podcast than my actual podcast. So that's not going to help that podcast, but fuck it.
And also Shannon with her brand new camera looking better than I am. And it bothers me. I don't know. It really bothers me. I don't know why it is, but congratulations, Shannon. Okay.
Thanks.
For someone who's the same exact age as me, you
how
look way
you?
Better. All right. So right now, let's see. Actor, comedian, you know him from Comedy Bang Bang. He's been on 30 Rock, Drunk History, What We Do in the Shadows, and his two podcasts, High and Mighty and Action Boys with Ben Rogers and Ryan Stanger. Is
that's
that right?
That's correct. Yeah.
It is John Gabrus. And by the way, I remembered your name as far as how to pronounce it, because I wasn't sure, by putting the word gay, like a gay bus, but there's an R in there.
Yeah. It totally works. I went to high school on Long Island in the 90s, so you can't rattle me with my last name. I was called Gay Boy by my teachers. My football coach was also my history teacher, and he called me Gay Boy in class, and then that kind of spread to
wow,
everyone.
That's fun. There's a guy on our network whose last name is F-A-G-A, right? And so the word fag is in his last name, so he can't get, like, a lot of times he's like registering for something and his last name gets brought up as hate speech because the word fag is in there even though it's his name. Isn't that weird?
He can't even have like his last name be his handle on like any video game
no,
or anything.
Not at all.
Like, that, the F word is the slur, guy. Yeah, like you can't have that. He's like, I've been carrying this name for generations.
if you're gonna have all the negativity or all the people that are making fun of you, at least get to own the name. At least get to have it. It's crazy.
Right. That's what I had to do. I either had to become a comedian or a school shooter. So
you should have combined the two of them. That would have been great. Telling jokes while you're killing people. Why not? I had my name, Ralph, was a rough one for me because I'm 51. So when I was a teenager at, like, let's say 14, 15, the book, like, so the twilight of my generation, like the book that every girl read when I was 13, 14, was a book called Forever by Judy Blume. And in that book, the guy names his penis Ralph. So every girl in my formative years, when I entered, they go, oh, Ralph the penis. And I was fucking Jesus Christ. And then Eddie Murphy comes out with Raw with Ralph, I'm going to fuck you in the ass. And then in the South, I found out Ralph means to vomit. So I got a fucking lot of negative shit as well, my friend.
How come no one thinks of a stage name? Like this is crazy. Chris could fix it by just going, I'm Chris French or some shit like that. You could just Ronnie Sutton. I don't like my name. That's why I went by a nickname for years of Mad Dog, which really worked the fuck out. And I go by James because Jamie, I fucked a couple Jamies and that's weird. So I go by James.
I think you should go by Jamie. So when you do call out your name in sex, it's not weird. You think it's the other girl.
Oh, that's fucking.
She'd sweet. Be like, my name's Melissa. And you'll be like, no, I was saying my own name. Don't worry. I'm just proud that I was able to finish.
Just really quick. We just talked about this off air and I just want to put a button on this. James and I, when Shannon on the last episode together, we interviewed the lead singer of a 90s rock band, the Counting Crows, that I became very enamored with. Is that a fair way to put it? I think we all did. And now him and I became texting buddies. How long do I wait before I reply again? Should I give it a day? I'm trying to understand this.
Bromance texts are a very complicated world. You know, it's got layers because you don't want to come across as too pushy, but you also, it's hard to make friends when you're in your 50s. You know,
right. No shit. And also, he invited me to dinner on the show. Right, said we should go have dinner, and so he gave me his number, and I texted him. And since I texted him, I haven't heard back from him. So it's been a day. It's been a day. Well, we'll see. He is famous, you know.
He's also doing a car wash. Every 2 seconds, he's on some goddamn show. I text people back home, then I interviewed him, and they're like, "Oh, I just saw him on this." I'm just like, if you opened up your high school yearbook, he's going to be in the D section right now.
Oh, so All right. I'm giving it one more day. And then I have to delete his number because I'm going to get drunk and text him. Hey, you up? What's going on?
Yo, if you up Adam Dirks at 3 a.m, greatest thing ever.
You could be like, hey, look, it's been a long December. I just want to see if you're still around.
I don't know about you, but I think I might be accidentally in love.
You want to meet up with me and Mr. Jones? Let's do this whole fucking episode. Come on. I only like 3 other songs, though.
Round here, we usually text the same day back.
and we're out of Counting Crows songs. That's it.
I said the one I knew. Everyone. I was tapped right after that.
at least we all were there to back you up. And you said something that, you know, I'm a New York boy as well, but I'm, you know, real New York. I'm Brooklyn. You're like from goofy Long Island. But nobody, which is, I'm curious. Wow, look at that. It looks like a shark, but it's Long Island. I get it.
Amazing.
Yeah. I got my first tattoo at 37 and it was an outline of Long Island on my bicep.
Is that really?
Yeah. Oh, it's my only tattoo. And I just got it for the first time 2 years ago.
Were you contemplating it for a long time?
Me and both my brothers, I have 2 younger brothers. All 3 of us got them.
Oh,
so that was like our thing. We all got it together. Both of my brothers are like tattoo heads and I am the oldest and never got one. So they were like, if you ever get a tattoo, we got to all do it together because that's crazy. You get one. I'm like, all right, let's figure something out. Fuck it. Let's do it. And it felt cool. Yeah.
It's like a real white trash triple crown. It's really nice.
It really was. You should have seen us taking turns smoking blunts outside the tattoo parlor on Hempstead Turnpike. Couldn't have been more WT.
Also,
like, all right, it's your turn. Cool. Me and my youngest brother will be like, okay, now you're okay. Now let's flip, switch.
where in Long Island did you grow up? I mean, I'm going to sound super goofy white privilege, but my father did have a home in the Hamptons when I was a kid. So I'd go to Suffolk a lot, but I wouldn't go to Nassau that much. What area?
Yeah, no, not if your dad had a house in the Hamptons. He would be like, don't stop the car here, Ralph. Keep moving. But yeah, I'm from the South Shore of Nassau County, which is sort of like the blue collar, you know, I grew up in Freeport, which is a kind of little waterside town there that also has a lot of low income families including the Gaberses.
Isn't there an area? God, I'm probably fucking this name up, but like, is it like the Nautical Mile? The Nautical Mile.
Woodcliff Canal in Freeport is the Nautical Mile. Yeah, it's like just a strip of bars and restaurants.
Yeah, I remember that being kind of a cool area. That was like a nice little vibe over there. I was there once or twice.
It's got a nice vibe. On Friday and Saturday nights, it gets a little like Guido Mardi Gras, where it's a lot of like people are just fucking puking in the streets and shit, like going from bar to bar, just trash. And it's like,
now Shannon's gonna go there looking for her next boyfriend.
Yeah.
You're speaking her language right now.
Looking for an ex boyfriend, is that what you said?
That's more like it.
Yeah. I just need a quick ex.
I like to do a little research when my guests come on the show, and so far here's my most fascinating topic that I heard. So we'll start off on this. Apparently, you sharted on the 30 Rock set. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes, I'm glad that's the big thing from my history that's out there. But yes, I've sharted a number of times due to poor diet choices and chasing of farts that I shouldn't be chasing. But the onset shart was in the I played a non-speaking extra. If you rewatch 30 Rock ever, you won't be able to remember me, but I mean, like three seasons as a non-speaking writer. We even called like the writers who don't talk at one point.
Oh, like at the writing table, you'd be one of the guys sitting at the table. Yeah. Wow, that's cool.
Great job if you're a struggling actor. It's like, you want to make $100 faking looking at a manila envelope while Alec Baldwin screams at Tina Fey in another room? You're all like, yeah, I mean, it's one of the three shows that shoots in New York. Let me get on it. But we were hanging out in the green room. All the non-speaking writers all hung out together, and we had our own green room. And I was running to the bathroom, and we were all dudes, so I thought it'd be fun. Because Tina was like, if we're making a writer's room, I should have five white male extras to reference what writers were like. Uh-huh. And I stopped at the door and was like, lifted a cheek to like fart on my way out the room. And then they, like my friends even said, we saw in your eyes before you said anything that you've definitely had a fucking chunk in there. Cause I was like, huh! And they just saw my eyes drop. And I was like, ran into the bathroom. And then while I'm in the bathroom, burying my underwear in the bottom of a Silver Cup Studios garbage can, wiping myself, washing myself and being like, oh, I got none on my pants. That's great. I can put the pants back on, free ball. While I'm getting dressed, someone comes in and is like, they need us on set, which is like the scariest acting. I don't act a lot, but when I do, I feel like they always need me on set when I'm shitting or have to shit. Due to that 6 a.m. call time, that fucks up my stomach so much as a lifelong sleeper inner.
Jesus Christ. But was there no long-term other than the crew that knew you shat yourself?
No long-term issues, except then
dietary,
got called.
Obviously.
Yeah. That's my doctor. When I was like, I've had diarrhea for 20 years. He's like, have you ever tried looking? I was like, no, I just assumed that was the norm. He's like, well, I think you might have some food allergies, kid. I was like, oh yeah. Holy shit. You're right. When I take one night off beer, I can fucking wipe once. But, TMI, but I got pulled into the scene and they were like, all right, Gabrus, you can stand right here in front of Tina. And I'm like, oh no. So I'm fucking free balling, having just sharted in like wardrobe pants. And they're like, all right. And they stand me like right in front of Tina Fey. And I'm like, no, oh please. You just feel like you need a shower after that, no matter what.
I would imagine, but yeah. No one, it's amazing you got lucky. I guess you really got in there and cleaned it out, or else someone would have been, what's that smell on the set? And you have to explain everything. That would have been horrible. So,
Or like a wet spot on the back of my fucking khakis. That would have been fucking human, because they put you in such a dumb when fucking guy, wardrobe.
Someone goes, did somebody stuff shitty underwear in a bathroom? Like, and you have to explain it was you? That would have been really
bad. Like, dude, it wasn't me. It's like, well, they're size double XL pink Mack Weldons. I think they're yours. But, yeah.
Handwritten, it says Gabrus on the inside.
I think it's your dad's handwriting with your initials in there. Are these from summer camp? How old are you, bro?
You should have used it to negotiate to get lines. Like, you want more of this? Give me at least 2 pages of dialogue, baby.
Yeah, give me one line. Give me that fucking big raise, or else there'll be plenty more underwear buried in your garbage cans.
All right, so one of the big, first of all, you seem to be, if I'm not mistaken, in the podcast game longer than most. Is that a fair way to assess it?
I thought I was a late adopter at the time, but it turns out I was just in like a small LA comedy niche where a lot of people had podcasts. But over the course of 5 years since maybe it's 6 years or something, I've been running High and Mighty, my personal podcast. Since I started that, the podcasts have exploded. I've never been ahead of the curve in like any trend in forever. So to be like an early adopter of podcasting as everyone else gets into it, I'm like, oh, thank God I did this at the right time. The one thing I've ever done at the right time is like, I started exercising when I was like 38. You know,
when did you actually start the podcast? Like your first time doing?
I'm not sure. I feel like the first episode of High and Mighty aired in like 2015.
But that was so High and Mighty was your first time doing any sort of podcasting?
No. Actually, when I first moved to LA in 2012, I hadn't even listened to podcasts yet. I had just heard, I had listened to WTF and This American Life. And I was like, that's what podcasts are. And then I come out here and I'm doing UCB shit, which is a Upper Sisters Brigade, which is a little comedy theater here.
And Comedy Bang Bang stuff too. That's all pre High and Mighty, isn't it?
Right. Exactly. And then someone from, Scott Aukerman's like, hey, are there any new UCB guys that are people that are funny? And my friend Neil Campbell recommended me. So I went in and did Comedy Bang Bang for the first time, not really even understanding like character-based improv podcasts. But after doing so many bullshit live stage shows, it didn't feel that weird. Mm-hmm. And then it felt and now it feels so normal. But at the time, it felt like just 3-4 people sitting in a room at a table laughing. And then like 2 weeks later, someone's like tweets at you, that was funny. And you're like, oh, right. Yeah, that's other people are get to see that. That wasn't just me and 3 strangers chopping it up about fucking sharding.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
When you first started with Comedy Bang Bang, did you come in as Gino Lombardo? Was that something that you created to come in with? Like, how did that actually work?
This is what's crazy, is that it was my first character choice. And even now with hindsight, me and Scott Aukerman are tight and we've been working together for so long. But at the time he was like, so what's Gino Lombardo's deal? Is like, he loves like, and my experience with radio growing up is Howard, Opie and Anthony, Ron and Fez, Imus, like right. All the shit that people are like, you know, those guys are all toxic. It's like, yeah, I grew up listening to them from the ages of 8 through 28. So like, I'm aware that they're toxic. I am arguably part of the problem here, but so when I bring that to like the podcast world, they're like, he's like, really? And then I just played like an obnoxious Long Island guy. He's barely a character. He's just like, has my original accent that I got rid of over 15 years of performing.
And apparently one of my people that work on the show told me that apparently his favorite sandwich is the Champ from My Hero Sandwich Place. Is that still the case?
Oh yeah. The Champ is one of his favorites. The Champ and All American are numbers 2 and 3. Number 1 is chicken cutlet. Chicken cutlet hero. Add cheese. Lose tomato.
Oh, okay. And the 1 or 2 episodes I remember was that. Remember you getting turned out by priests at one point. That's what I
yes,
remember.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. There. Another bit of Gino's is that he was a Catholic bait boy on spec. Like he went and like seduced priests and then brought that information to the FBI, and they weren't able to do anything
because they didn't. They didn't know that he wasn't actually part of any sort of sting operation.
Right.
That's really great. That's fucking great. That's really
any
awesome.
Chance I get to take a fucking take the Catholicism down a peg, I'll do it. I fucking dedicated 25 years of post karate Sundays to Catholic, or you know, 15 years of post karate Sundays to.
How far did you get along in the karate spectrum? Did we get to at least the brown belt? Is that right?
I got the brown underwear at 30 Rock ceremony. I was a Taekwondo black belt. Me, my brother, and my dad all wow. made black belt in Taekwondo. I took it for like 6 years, like 9 through 15, or like 10 through 16, and then I got to the age where it was like, I know karate, but I did get beat up 3 times. So maybe karate sucks and I don't need it. Maybe I'm just like a little soft and it'll be fine. But now I'm back at 39 years old taking martial arts classes in a park in LA. I've completely regressed in like the last 5 years of my life. I had like a midlife crisis where I'm 16 again. And like all I do is smoke pot, do karate, and talk to my friends on microphones. Not something I did in 16, but.
James?
All I'm going to say is, so at 16, you stop martial arts because you're getting beat up. And then your family goes, well, religion, if you have God, you won't get beat up. Is that what the transition? That's a great. If so, that's a book. I mean, let's just talk about it right now.
Post karate church sounds something specific, unless you know that my karate class was on Sunday mornings.
It mean differently, James. I took it after karate.
I just know I've gotten communion. I've gotten the body of Christ thousands of times wearing a New York Giants starter jacket over a karate gi.
You would have chopped the communion? That'd be the fucking baller. For this
body of Christ? Stop! KO!
KO! We just interviewed Danny Bonaducci not that long ago. Yeah. And one of my favorite things about him is he got a triple black belt from Chuck Norris. He studied with Chuck Norris. How fucking cool is it?
I love shit like that. I'm obsessed with Bruce Lee, and I just read his memoir, and Bruce Lee like trained Steve McQueen and Paul. Yeah. And like, it's like, oh, imagining these dudes doing karate with each other is so sick.
It's so crazy. It really is.
And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who's like 9'13".
Yeah. Oh, dude, I fucking love that's such a fucking brilliant move to be like, I'm 9 feet tall. It's like, I should probably learn karate. That'll help me know my body. And then he ends up getting to be in movies. Yeah. And now homie was a fucking staff writer in the Veronica Mars reboot room. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has had a wild career.
Wow, that's good for him.
He was Lou Alcindor. He's been Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He was a legendary basketball player, a martial artist, and now a journalist, and now a TV writer.
And you left out
Now
Airplane.
He's getting in fucking writer's rooms, and I can't even get in writer's rooms.
He was like, great in Airplane, too. He was awesome in Airplane.
He's so good in Airplane.
When they pull him out and he's in the full outfit, he's in the full basketball, was one of my favorite. It's such a great scene in that movie. So fucking awesome.
As a Celtic fan, he was also great getting punched in the face by Larry Bird. I'll just leave it right there, everybody. It was a good
one. Okay.
Wow. I don't know anything about sports, so I'll just say okay.
I always love that. We could always make up sports shit to you, Ralph.
Yeah, always. And I'll just say, that sounds right. Good for you guys. Sure. Why
like,
not?
Chuck Norris had a touchdown in the NBA Finals. You'd be like, fuck yeah, man.
Sounds. I know the basic rules of most sports. That I will say. I think
If you grew up in Brooklyn in the 80s, does that mean like the only sport you ever played was like stickball?
I played stickball a lot. Yeah. And I played handball. Stickball and handball. We did that a lot. That was those were our two games of choice growing up. That's it.
That makes total sense. Yeah. That's like, you're like, I know sports rules. The fire hydrant's a single, the telephone pole's a double.
And every once in a while, someone's going to scream out, car!
Car, C-A-R. Yeah. That's me when I moved to a slightly bougier town when my mom got a job and we were a double income family. We got to move two towns east. Mm. And that's when all my I met a bunch of white kids and they all played roller hockey. So I had to get and trying to convince fucking high school dropout, poor parents that like, I want to start playing roller hockey. That requires skates, a stick, helmet, knee pads. They were like, no. Yeah. I'm like the one kid in the neighborhood running around with like a borrowed lefty hockey stick on.
And you're running. You're not even on skates. Yeah, you're just running.
I'm like saving up to buy fucking inline skates so I can fucking play roller hockey.
One time in my life, I have never played hockey of any kind in my life and was terrible on skates. But one time, I tried to play roller hockey with some kids, and the guy said they were much younger than me. I was like, let's say 15. They were 12. Somehow I was playing with them because my cousin was playing. He was younger, so I played. And they looked, and he goes, have you ever played this game before? I'm like, nope, never again. I'm so bad.
Yeah, you can tell as you're like wearing full goalie equipment, facing away from everyone.
Bleeding like, from every orifice as well. I was always good, though, at any sort of rackety sports. I'm good in tennis, good in really good at racquetball and ping pong. Those are the three very white sports, but good at all three of those. I challenge you all to any one of those games.
Yeah, you were playing stickball in Brooklyn and racquetball in the Hamptons.
Exactly, by the way. Fucking exactly. That was my life, for God's sake.
So, I'll demonstrate. You were playing stickball here.
That's so great.
And then playing tennis here.
Right, exactly. It's funny. We would get lost. Okay, where are we, everybody?
Yeah, crazy. So I go earthquake and NASA. Pop the bicep a little.
All right, before we go any further, let's talk about one of our favorite sponsors. They've been a part of the show for a very long time, and with July 4th coming up, no better way to celebrate your freedom than going to yokratom.com, and it is the home of, we like to say this all the time, of the $60 kilo, the world's best kratom shipped directly to your door, no questions asked. Great value, wholesale prices. Shannon loves it, as you know. She has a couple of favorite strains of it, and she's on the kratom all the time, as I like to say. You can find great quality kratom. Just go to yokratom.com. If you're a fan of kratom, this is where you want to go, because you don't have to worry about how long has it been sitting at the bodega. Where did it get it? Where did it come from at this gas station? God only knows. But if you're looking for high quality kratom at a discounted price, it's yokratom.com. Home of the $60 kilo. Thank you so much to Yo Kratom for allowing all the shows on the Gas Digital Network to do what we love to do, and that's bring you these podcasts. All right, let's get back into it. So here is a quote of yours that I like, by the way, is that you cried more in movies than you did at your dad's funeral. Is that you didn't get emotional over your dad, but you do cry in movies a lot?
I did cry a lot over the death of my father. I'm just shy of, a sociopath. path. So it did affect me, but I was able to, I gave the eulogy. So I had to like hold it together. And I think performer, like the stage Gabrus dominated the emotional Gabrus for like mm-hmm. that time. But because of my love of both, I also get super high to watch movies, and that just gets me weirdly emotional. I feel like I'm close to some raw edge when I'm super high. I weep in a lot of, and my wife mocks me for it. Like we were like, I'll be like crying. I used to cry at the third act of like every Modern Family episode. Cause like a dad and a son are like, let's play catch. And I'm like, that's nice. Supportive parents. Interesting.
And on airplane too, because you watch a movie and you're already high and you're getting emotional and you cry. You're the lunatic crying next to me in the movie theater.
Let me tell you about an airplane. I watched Million Dollar Arm, which is a speaking of sports, John Hamm movie about finding Indian cricketers to become major league pitchers. Mm-hmm. And the movie was so boring, and it was a Disney movie, and I'm watching it on a plane with noise canceling headphones, chock full of fucking edibles, and I am bawling to the point where the lady next to me, she's in the middle seat, she puts her hand on my arm and is like,
oh,
he's clearly got like, and not in a like knock it off way, but in a like, I'm with you, friend, okay, it's gonna be okay.
Is that the weirdest one that you've cried to? Because I just recently cried to The Crow, which really made me question my life.
Oh man, when Eric Draven dies and you know that Hangman's Joke is no longer gonna be able to play live, dude, I fucking weep, man.
Oh man. I've noticed in my old age, I get more emotional. Like, I never would get emotional in movies or TV shows, but in the last couple of years, never before. Now, certain things will hit me. I'm like, oh my God, I don't know why. I found more in touch with my emotions in my old age, I guess.
I think that's right. And I also think as you get older, you get more comfortable with allowing those emotions in. Like, I go to haunted houses like a lot. I go to haunts a shit ton in October with mm-hmm. a large group of other people who are aged 35 to 50 and we fucking love it. And you have to kind of let yourself be. I think you need the age to grow up to be like, it's okay if you're scared. That's part of that's what they right. want to happen. And if you let yourself get scared, if you let yourself get emotional, it's that much richer of an experience. But when you're in your 20s, you're like, I'm not fucking scared. You can't. And it's like, wait, but if you let yourself be scared, you're going to enjoy this fucking entire holiday way more.
I feel like it's when you get older, you're so jaded and your walls are up so much to everything that you don't allow yourself to feel things. Because to me, it's the same thing. I won't cry over anything in real life, but I will cry over a commercial with like puppies in it for me. Yeah. Just me, guys, huh?
That really works. Bro, like, give me a fucking Nike commercial that has like a young girl like starting out sprinting on a track and then revealing that she's an Olympiad at the end with like fucking Bittersweet Symphony by the Verve playing in the background. I'll fucking weep my fucking ass off. Sports stories always work on me, and I'm not like, I'm an ex-jock, but I don't care. I don't follow sports that much, but sports movies, holy shit, they hit me right.
They never, those, I don't watch those at all. Those, I just don't give a shit. Although, I'm watching right now the doc on Mike Tyson that was just on a couple nights ago, and I love Mike Tyson. I find him fascinating. So that, I mean, I'm only about halfway through it, but it's fucking incredible. But it's not really meant as a tearjerker. It's just a documentary, you know. But
yeah, I smoked a blunt of Tyson Farms weed just a couple of days ago. Oh, I got an eighth of Tyson. He grows pretty solid grass.
Oh, yeah,
a man of many skills. Some awful, and some great.
I saw a clip of him talking to Sugar Ray Leonard where he talks about trying to disassociate from the killer. He doesn't want to be that guy anymore, but yet it makes him feel weaker that he's not that guy. And it was like an interesting dichotomy of dealing with being older and not wanting to be the fucking animal that he used to be. But right. It was fascinating. But you're touching on it a few times about getting high. High and Mighty is all about, your podcast, High and Mighty, is all about getting high. And is it food? What is it involved exactly? Like, elaborate a little on it.
Yeah, so High and Mighty is like kind of just like a triple entendre in that I'm a weed smoker and a weightlifter, but also I am high and mighty about all my opinions and obnoxious. And also the word mighty makes me think of like barbarians and swords and shields. And I love that shit. So that was pretty much the name. And so the show is just like a stonery chat show in that me and my guests get high, or if my guest doesn't get high, I get high and they don't, or neither of us do. But it's a rambling hour-long conversation where, you know.
Oh, so weed is the backdrop. It's not necessarily part of the show.
I've done a few episodes straight up about cannabis, but I've also done episodes about like General Tso's Chicken, Judaism, starting new jobs. Like, we just kind of go all over the map.
Those three things always go together, I feel. Judaism and General Tso's Chicken do, for sure. Jews and Chinese food, absolutely. So my issue, and it may be, you know, as a weed expert, so to speak, I'm curious how you feel. I don't do well with weed. It doesn't agree with me. And it almost bothers me that I haven't found any, like, I would like to enjoy it as much as so many people do. I've tried various strains. It just, nothing ever agrees with me. Is it just, I'm shit out of luck? I'm just wired wrong?
It's quite possible, but I always pitch to people who say the exact thing you're saying to me, Ralph. I always pitch, find yourself a 2.5 mg edible. Like, that's like one of the lowest doses edibles you can have. And so there's no smoking, there's no coughing, the anxiety doesn't come on. There's a chance you don't even feel the 2.5, but then you start to feel something where you're like, oh, I didn't feel like there was something that was nice about today. It's like, oh, my wife, who's been like a heavy drinker, not a pot smoker for the last 15 years, but as I've become a huge pot smoker in the last year, I was like, look, we're in quarantine. It's time for you to like, let's fuck around here a little bit. Let's learn. And so we got her on like 2.5 milligram edibles. Now she takes, you know, then she started taking fives, and like, now she can like titrate. It's about learning what you need. Cause maybe Ralph, all you need is one toke and just let it see what happens.
Right. Cause that's what I've always liked about alcohol, is that I know this amount of drinks will get me to where I want to be. It's going to last this long, and then I'll feel okay. And that control, because I am OCD of, you know, need to have like a control thing, it definitely helps me because I can manage that, where I don't feel that way with weed.
Then you're going to love getting into edibles for your OCD, because everything is measured and milligrammed out now legally. And so you can be like, well, 2.5 makes me feel like this. 5 makes me feel like this. 7.5 is too much. I should buy, you know, they make like little mints that are. And also, I don't know, you didn't give me any much context, but I will say often people are like, weed doesn't agree with me. I'm like, oh, when'd you smoke? They were like, after drinking at a bar for 5 hours back at a friend's house. And it's like, yeah, no, I can't even get that crossfaded. And I smoke weed every day for 10 years.
Right,
but like, combining the two. So always people are like, weed fucks me up. I'm like, when do you smoke weed? They're like, at parties after I've been drinking jungle juice for five hours.
Yeah, no, I don't even drink that much. I almost do nothing. Like, that's for a show called Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. I'm a real puss. Like,
I'm a virgin. I'm a drug free virgin who needs to turn the music down.
I only listen to symphonies. That's how I roll.
I'm a real Philip Glass virgin.
And then I want to also, because we're going to debate some action movies about an action boy's stuff. But
hell yeah,
I watched you a couple times on Drunk History. as a neophyte to that world as well, do you pick a topic? Do they give you a topic? How long do you have to research the topic before it happens?
Here's some fun. This is fun. People who like Drunk History always want to know. And I get it, because the second I was let into the world, I'm like, this is so weird. The feeling is when you go to tape an episode that you're arriving to a party and a book report at the same time, where you're like, and as like when you're 36 years old and kind of not into drinking full bottles of tequila anymore because your therapist, family, and friends tell you not to do that or whatever. But you show up and you're like, fuck, I got to get wasted tonight. And you're like, oh no. I remember being like, oh fuck, I have to get wasted tonight. No problem. Now I'm like, ugh, I'm going to be hungover tomorrow. I got to block out.
That's how I think about it all day.
And then you also got to give a fucking oral presentation on a history project. And you're like, that activates childhood stress too. And I'm like, I'm 37 years old and I'm stressed that I have to drink tequila. And then you're like, you sit down to do it and you're like, oh, this is the best job ever. Like, of course, this is what it is. But to answer some of your other questions, Ralph, you offer up some topics you'd like to talk about. They have a bunch that they think would be good. And they after I've done I've now done like four. Mm-hmm. I think I've done five, and the last one will never air because they cut that season off in the middle. And I had a really good, so I got absolutely blasted and told a long ass story about weightlifting, and that is just in someone's hard drive somewhere and no acting footage added to it. But so they know I love like sports history, journalistic history. Mm-hmm. They gave me Ida Tarbell as my first story because I like love journalist underdog stories. Mm-hmm. When people are putting on their feel good movies, my feel good movies are like exclusively like whistleblower movies for some reason. It just makes me feel good to know that little people or people who in not big positions of power are out there going, well, you know what? I need to make the world right. Like that just makes me feel better. That's my idea of like, I don't need hero cops anymore in 2021.
It's your revenge porn for the most part.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's my like, thank you, Miss Sloan, for really fucking with the cigarette industry, whatever, you know.
So it's day of, you're researching it?
No, they give it to you. You get it well in advance. They give you a packet, and then like you do it. You show up and you do it a few times sober, so it's in your bones.
Oh, okay.
Like as you're sipping, you tell through the story. They ask you some questions, and then they kind of, and my buddies are the producers. I mean, I'm buddies with the producers at this point, but they eventually like lull you into a complacency of like, they're like, that's great. That's great. And then once you're absolutely blasted, they really start needling you with like follow-up questions and stuff, you know,
that's
like
awesome.
That's, and then at the end, when you're at your like peak drunkest is like, all right, we just need you to say, hi, I'm John Gabriel, you know, like, and they give you all like the easiest assignments so that it kicks off and you look like you're absolutely blasted to begin with, but they do have some slightly alive footage to cut to of you saying like,
and she
was a muckraker. Yeah.
After doing a couple of them, did you like try and pace yourself alcohol wise, or do they like part of the deal is like you drank more once you got used to it, or did you like?
Yeah,
how does, you know
the
I mean?
First time I drank like three quarters of a bottle of silver tequila, and then every other time after that, I finished the bottle.
Jesus.
Yeah, in one night I drank tequila soda with a splash of juice in the chair, and then some shots of tequila with Derek because I think they feel comfortable. They're walking a fine line, right? Like they're like putting talent in quote unquote danger. Like if one of their narrators goes home and is like, you know, gets alcohol poisoning, they could like ostensibly, you know, you have to sign all these waivers. There's EMT. Yeah. They give you like a charcoal shot, electrolytes. They give you a bunch of stuff to like protect you as much as possible, make you stay for a half hour after you wrap and finish a bottle of water. Like do all the, a PA has to like put you into your house. Like they can't just leave you outside your house and stuff. So there's a lot of like, they do a lot of cool shit to make it super safe. But at the same time, I started to get more and more comfortable where it's like, they're like, you just never, and especially as you get drunk and self-conscious, you just never think you did a good job, right? Like you,
right.
I don't think I did a good job when I do a good job. And then when I'm blasted talking about a topic I barely know, I'm like, how is that good? And then you watch one cut of your first and you're like, oh, these guys are talented. They know what they're doing. They can make it present. And then I was completely comfortable going forward. I'm like, fuck it. Let's go. More drinks. Fuck it. Let's go in, baby.
That's awesome. That's really fucking great. So now, Action Boys, which is your other podcast, took a long break, but it seems not only you back, but you're doing a live show to make everyone watch the first. I think it's Arnold's first movie. Is that not right?
Yeah, Hercules in New York is like Arnold's first big.
Yes.
He's in The Long Goodbye with one line, the Elliot Gould movie. He's just kind of like a heavy that comes in. And as a matter of fact, he doesn't speak. So when you see there, he's like calls in his like henchmen. And when they show up and one of them's Arnold, you're like, I saw the movie in like the 90s where I was already in love with Arnold. I was like, holy shit, highly recommend that. But yeah, so the Action Boys was like a thing we did on High and Mighty with a couple of buddies. And then we spun it off eventually to our own Patreon podcast. So that's been running for a couple of years on Patreon. Sorry, paid podcast. Deal with it, people.
Wait, is it exclusively paid?
Yeah, it's exclusively. But we do have like a dozen free episodes out. Wherever you're listening to a podcast, you can just open it up and type in Action Boys, and there'll be some free apps. Give you a sniff, get you hooked.
A little taste,
you know?
Yeah, a little taste. Good drug dealer. Very good.
Yeah, like a free dime bag, baby. Come back when you need an eighth, you know? But, and yeah, Friday, June 4th, we're doing a live show, a live stream where, you know, this is classic Action Boys where what the world is completely open. Great. Well, we're doing one last live stream on the internet show. It's like,
Justin,
we're so behind.
Outside for summer.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Inside.
CDC has lifted all the fucking, you guys can do whatever you want, but we recommend Friday night staying in and watching us on a live stream.
Forget yeah, that horny girl up next door that wanted to go out with you.
Yeah. Yeah, forget the vaxxed women in your area or that the little, that's going to be a new porn pop-up. It's like vaxxed MILFs in your area.
I'm sure that's going to happen. So do you really well know the movie well before you go into the podcast, or is part of it to not see it?
For us, we watch it. It's the audience is like a 50-50. Our listenership, we've learned, is like a 50-50 split of people who we announce the movies with in advance that they can watch them, but half of them don't watch the movies and just want to hear us. They like the out of context shit of like, yeah. And then Tango shoots the fucking car and cocaine comes out of it instead of oil. Or
it's not, Mystery Science Theater-y. It's recapping.
Now, it's recapping. And the real crazy shit is that our episodes on Patreon are longer than the run times of every of the movies. We did great. 3 hours and 40 minutes on The Program. Like I'm not saying this is a positive selling point. This obviously is awful, but if you're paying $5 a month, if you're looking at just pure dollars per minutes, we're a deal.
I don't even remember The Program. Who was in The Program?
No, James.
You're out.
Sports movie, right?
Oh, well,
yeah. It's about football. Jimmy Kahn is the coach, and he's like the only major. And Christy Swanson is the love interest.
But how does that quantify action movies? Isn't that a sports movie?
Well, that was on in it. It's a fucking action, bro. All right. In the Bronx, starting shit behind the scenes. It's a fucking action movie, baby.
Jamie, you're not wrong. Jimmy Kahn brings action movie energy to everything. He's fucking. That was for a special Sports Timber episode, we use some silly ploys to sneak in movies we love that aren't necessarily underneath the Action Boys.
By the way, you guys are wizards in advertise speak. Sports Ember just flows. It's so right? easy to say.
Yeah. And then we have like all these joke ones too that we're always like, next Karch, where we do car movies in March.
All right, before we go any further, one of the longtime sponsors of this show, it is Blue Chew. You know how we like to say, chew it and do it. It's the chewable that lets you do it. It's very simple. It is chewable. It's the same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but because it's in a chewable form, it's a fraction of the cost. It activates much faster, and it helps combat ED. What is ED? Erectile dysfunction, or as I like to call it, non-working ding-dongs. And if you use the Blue Chew chewables, you can chew it and do it. What Blue Chew is they're an online prescription service, which means no doctor visits, no awkward conversations, no price check at the pharmacy. You just sign up online at bluechew.com. All the details are there. The best part is if you use the code SDR, you just pay shipping and you get the Blue Chew chewables so that you and your ding dong can be very happy. It's a free service the first time. You just pay the $5 shipping. Again, go to bluechew.com, use promo code SDR, and boy, do we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast. All right, let's get back into it. All right, so now let me ask you this. Your favorite action movie?
Hands down, Big Trouble in Little China.
Great movie. They say the reason that movie flopped was because of the name. That's always what they said.
Makes total sense. It is a little aged weird that it's like a movie, like the Asian culture. It doesn't land the same way as it did when I first saw it. But Kurt Russell is one of my favorites of all time. And to me, it was like the first. It had like magic. It had like everything I needed as a little kid. It had like guns, martial arts, and like a little bit of like D&D fantasy world.
I got to see it in the theaters. That's how old I am.
Great. That's a fucking dream. That score is awesome, too. I'm a fucking diehard Carpenter.
It's the best. I'll listen to it and get pumped up. I haven't been on a date in a minute, but I'll listen to that before I go get the breadsticks. I'll fucking do it, man. I'm scoring that night. Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. Come on, goddammit.
James, yes. Your favorite action movie. I'm curious.
I'm not, like, the biggest action dude. If you count, like, a mob shit, like Goodfellas, I guess, but that probably
consider that. I wouldn't allow it. If I was on the Action Boys podcast, I would not allow it.
Well, maybe that's in
Mobuary.
Yeah,
I got you.
Mobuary. Shannon, what about you? You don't care. You're a chick. You're not gonna like action.
I'm trying to think about it. It's like the Fast and the Furious movies. I don't know if that counts. I enjoy all of those. The Expendables. I enjoyed.
I like Beverly Hills Cop 2. Is that Criminal? Tony Scott.
That counts. Beverly Hills Cop 2 rules.
Definitely counts. Definitely.
True Romance. Great. We've covered both of those movies. We haven't covered any of the Fast and the Furious movies because we kind of stay from 99 and earlier, like the 70s to 99 with some random 60s and some random. But I'm a diehard Fast and the Furious fan, too. And I just rewatched 1 and 2.
If you do a futurary episode, I'd be happy to come on.
Yeah. Well, I will reach out for sure. It's for futurary month.
I would say if I was trying to think about it, for me, I'm not a superlatives guy, but the obvious ones I think are Die Hard and Predator. You know, those are
Predator is the kickoff. The first one we did on High and Mighty, episode 2 of High and Mighty is me. So 2010 or whatever, you know, however long, not 2010, but however long ago that was, me, Rogers and Stanger talking about Predator because it's the best. It's the most iconic.
I got to see that in theaters too, which is that one I saw sold out in Brooklyn at Kings Plaza Movie Theater. I will never forget that experience because all of my friends went to go see that together. That memory, by the way, Shannon, the host of my other podcast, The Health and Wellness with Marcus, he went with it. We all went together, and that whole thing is ingrained in my head. That was a great experience, man.
Hell yeah. And I highly recommend, if you're a big Predator fan and listeners, I highly recommend, it's on YouTube. There's like a 50-minute making of doc called like If It Bleeds or something, that there's like all behind the scenes stuff, and it's really fucking funny. You learn some crazy ass shit, like they were trying to outlift each other.
There's
such cool shit where Arnold is talking to the wardrobe to have Jesse Ventura's sleeves taken in a little bit, so he feels like his arms are getting bigger because they're having like a competition of who's buffer. And they were saying there was like an arms race of who can wake up earlier and start hogging the machines at the gym that they shipped to fucking like Central America to make the movie. They were like, we need all this equipment for all the fucking meatheads here.
God, so much testosterone on that set. That must have been a wild and also pre-Me Too stuff. God only knows what was fucking happening on that set.
I felt bad for any female employee of the movie and any local female in Central America. Listen,
so the staff is going to rape you.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, as we know, does not pull out. So be prepared.
Two of the cast members became governors of states. That's fucking crazy.
That's crazy.
That's
crazy. Do you guys always pick a movie that you both agree is great, or it could be ones that one of you
There's some we disagree on, you know, or there's some that we watch and we're like, wow, all three of us think this movie's bad. But the fun thing that's been about watching these old 70s, 80s, and 90s movies, even the ones that are bad, they come from a time where like directors were making weird choices and stuff. So like, as someone who feels like absolutely fucking reamed out by Star Wars and Marvel, it just feels so good to have it not be so polished, so green screened up. Watching an old fucking Bronson movie where the editing is not fully there and Bronson is wooden as fuck, but it feels so real because it's like, oh, this is like, there's no CGI, there's no, like, the violence hits weird, it's not even directed that well, but they're making such strong choices. And we always like to say on the podcast, we didn't know how good we had it. Like, we didn't realize when we were like, oh, this fucking Hard Target, this Van Damme movie sucks compared to his others, and then we didn't know that he was going to make 50 more and that we're going to be way worse. It's like you've retroactively made your original shit better. It's like the Weezer paradox. Like,
what was the one with what's his name, with who's the fat guy, god damn it, I can't think of his name now. Hard to Kill was a great one.
That's the one with Wilford Brimley as the Cajun horseback rider, right? Yeah, that's the John Woo's first English language film. So imagine a movie directed by a guy who doesn't speak English, starring a guy who doesn't speak English, but they don't speak the same language.
That's fucking great. Amazing. Yeah,
John Woo and Jean-Claude Van Damme going through notes. I could not even want to picture that.
Amazing. It's fucking great. And then, so these movies, while you see them before you record, a lot of them you've never seen before at all, and you're seeing them now for the first, you know what I mean? Like, you see them before you film.
Most of them I've seen in the past. Some of them, like some of them are like, wow, this was a blind spot. Like, I've never seen the original Mechanic with Bronson and fucking Jan Michael Vincent. You're like, this movie's so weird. It's so cool. And I just like, but then there's also movies where it's like, we did Willow recently, and I've seen Willow 1,000 times through my childhood, but we were like, oh yeah, it was a, I hadn't watched it in 15 years. It's like, you know, you grow your hymen back to some of these movies. And I wish I could have thought of a better analogy on the fly, but I apologize.
That was perfect. That's the best analogy of all time.
Thank you.
And right now, cause you did take a long break from it though, but now it's back in full swing.
We took a break from it in that we moved it to the Patreon. So it's back. We have a couple of hundred episodes on the Patreon. So even more of a selling point, if you want to jump on for 3 months and try to bang through all of it, you can listen to hundreds of episodes, hundreds of hours for $15 and then cancel. That's what people do. Learning.
And by the way, I liked your analogies. We got to wrap this up in a minute. We asked the questions, but I liked your analogy on podcasting where you said, it's like getting booked at a comedy club that everyone can go to, which I agree. It's a unique experience. I don't know how long the freedom of podcasting is going to last. I do believe the FCC will step in at some point, or there's going to be technology that listens to podcasts and finds things offensive and it gets taken down, and something like that will happen. But right now, the fact that it's so, you know, we're in the fucking crazy, you know, it's a Wild West right now. I don't know how much longer it's going to last.
No, I think you're right. And I do think before like the offensive algorithm computer is invented, the thing that'll be invented first will be the IP algorithm, where if you play a song that is you're not paying for on your podcast, right, or you are doing a, you know, recap show for The Sopranos and don't have like official permission, because I think a lot of people are seeing that there's money to be made.
Right.
And
once, now. Yeah.
Once corporations see that there's money to be made, it's like, if you're the guy who talks about video games, that those video game companies will be like, take that shit down.
Right.
You never give you
permit.
Like,
and by the way, you have 500 episodes and retroactively you owe us $1 million. Like, that's going to happen. For
I think that'll happen before people are hunting down cancellation. Yeah.
Just in general, the freedom of a podcast, because I did radio for a long time, and in radio, you couldn't say it. Not only couldn't you not say anything, it was like implied things you couldn't say. And you wouldn't know what that even meant until you said something wrong and you found out the next day you couldn't have said that, even though it wasn't a bad word.
Can't even allude to something.
Yeah, alluding to something. And they didn't even tell you you can't allude to these things. But if someone found something offensive, you got in trouble for it. And that was what part of the reason why I loved going to podcasting. I got in about 6 years ago. This show, and the network is, what are we, 4 years old, Shannon, the network?
Five years old.
The network's about 5 years old. It's crazy. But it's amazing to see, because I thought I was late to the party 6 years ago, and now it's just, you know.
But you see it now with, like, celebrities all launching their podcasts, and you're like, fuck, everyone sees that there's money to be made here, and where all the little people are going to be boxed out. Or... because we were here early, we're going to have like our early adopting listeners just kind of who still stick around. Who's like,
well, what I can tell you, I'm not to cut you off. I apologize. What I'm going to tell you is that I realized, so from radio, at one point when syndicated radio, my show was on like 90 stations at one point. And so there was money in radio. So what happened was all these celebrities tried to get their own syndicated radio shows. And they were just throwing money at different celebrities to give them a nationally syndicated radio show. But just because they're a celebrity doesn't mean they're good at it. You know, at the talking and keeping people engaged and whatever. So 80% of those shows are gone, just like in the podcast space. I think Snooki did 3 episodes of her podcast. And the dude from Pawn Stars, Rick from Pawn Stars, the main guy, right? He did like 6 episodes and stopped. That happens over and over again. Celebs give up on it. So
yeah.
I think that it's not going to be that. I don't think celebrities are going to be the downfall for the independent podcaster.
Oh, good. Wonderful news.
James, you haven't looked at you to say something.
If Stars got together, it would have been the best. That would have been at least 15 episodes if they would have done it together.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we got to ask the first question so we can wrap this up, Shannon. So we'll hit the first.
The first time ever I saw Concert Detroit.
As you know, Gabrus, the name of the show is Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. And we ask you about your first experience with all three. We start with rock and roll, and we meet the first concert you went to on your own volition, not like your parents dragged you or something you said to them, take me, you know.
Yeah.
And we're going to know them, not some local band we never heard of.
Right. You're going to know them maybe if you're my age or older. But I saw the first concert I went to with my friend's parent that we like said, we want to go to this concert, take us, was Soul Asylum at Jones Beach Amphitheater.
So not only do we know them, they were on the show and they performed live not that long ago when their new album
came out. That's awesome. New album came out. That's a crazy
addition to that. Yeah, this year. Their new album came out and they performed live on the show. So
good for them. That's so fucking sick. Yeah. Matthew Sweet opened for them.
Oh, I liked him.
And while we're talking... one of the first shows my parents ever brought me to, I didn't choose this. My dad and mom chose this because they were fans. I saw Jackie the Joke Man Martling when I was like 13 with a friend and my parents at the Westbury Music Fair.
Well, and not to
my dad, we're such Howard heads in our house. You know,
not to keep doing a side plug, but he was also on the show. Thank you very much.
Hell yeah.
Let's see who else you can name. Let's keep trying this game. No, so now the first drug you did after weed, unless weed wasn't your first drug.
Oh, right. Weed was my first drug. I smoked weed when I was like 13 and then stopped for like 10 years and started again when I was 25 and then have not slowed down at all. But the only other, I mean, I've taken like pills recreationally every once in a while and stuff, but I still don't even count that. I did mushrooms for the first time just a few years ago. And that was a truly delightful experience.
And it was once, or you've done it a few times since?
Now I've since done it. You break that, once you're like, oh yeah, that was fun. It's like, well, I'm an adult with almost no responsibilities. I might as well do this again soon. Like, I just did them last weekend. I rented an Airbnb by the beach and tripped balls and, you know, enjoyed myself.
Again, I tried them once live on the show and I just fucking, it did not. We do a drug. Sorry to the listeners, but we do this. Once a year, we pick a drug because I've never done anything, and we try the drug live on the show.
Oh, that's awesome! That's the shit. That's the shit that's going to get regulated first. It's we're shooting up fucking, you know, black tar horse. It's
like, but like when we did the cocaine episode last time. That was the last one. How can they prove that it was cocaine? They can't prove it. It was a bit. Blah blah blah. You know what?
The sniffing was never on camera.
Yeah, but so I just think it'd be very hard to prove. You know,
I remember from when I was a kid, Conan O'Brien doing a bit on his show where I'm not allowed to drink on camera, and he pours a beer into a pint glass and then pours a ginger ale into another pint glass and they look exactly the same. He puts them down below the table and then pulls it up and he goes, ah, ginger ale, just starts drinking. And you're like, oh, that is such a funny loophole to get around.
That's great. By the way, if you haven't watched it, The History of Late Night on CNN, fucking great series. Amazing. I recommend it to everybody.
Oh, I definitely would. I'm writing it down.
It's fucking fantastic. There's only 5 episodes, 1 left to go, which airs. It's coming out. It's just such a great series. All right. Now, lastly, your first time having sex.
Every step of the way in my sexual origin story was botched, which makes sense based on how my sex is now. But when I was 16 or 15, I lost my virginity to my then girlfriend, who's a year older. And we had one. This is like, here, I'll place it. So this makes it like 1998. We're watching Matrix Revolutions and drinking a six pack of Bud Light, or one of the Matrix movies, maybe it was the first one, and drinking a six pack of Bud Ice or Bud Light.
The first one came out in 99, by the way. I happen to know.
So then maybe it was 99. Maybe I was, I had brought her a Roxy watch back from Miami when I went with a friend, and we were from the Quicksilver store. I was like, I bought her a $40 watch, and I was like, I can't believe how much money I'm spending on this chick. I don't realize that we're setting up to have sex this night. So I don't have condoms with me. We start hooking up and we're about to have sex. And I'm a child of the 90s. So I'm like, I can't, you have to have a condom on. There's no other way to have sex, which people be lying. you're wrong about this condom stuff. So I don't have a condom. I'm like, I don't have a condom. And she's like, and we have that hesitation of like, I don't know if we're supposed to do this. And she's like, forget it. I'm like, yes, thank God. I'm so excited. I did not want to stop this. And then I am about to enter, like as close as you can be to Trish. I'm like literally in like tip to tip with her. And I'm on top.
Tip to tip. I'm not sure if he was a girl. Continue.
Big ass clit. I love that. In my young high school girlfriends. When I'm in high school, that sentence. Please don't pull that out, algorithm. That's gonna cancel me. But as soon as I touch, tip to lip is probably the better way to phrase that. Better it. Joke. Fuck, man. Edit that in, guys. Thank you. So we're tip to lip and I'm on top and my nose just opens and I get a bloody nose and it's, and I notice when it drips on her face first and she's like, oh, and I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. I stop. And I'm like, fuck. Am I, and I've had like a number of cauterization procedures done to my nose because something's wrong with my nose where it bleeds easily. Mm-hmm. And so I'm having like a fully nude panic attack. Like I'm dripping blood. Her mom is out of town. She's like, here, put this on. I put on her mom's robe. And it turns out her mom is like 4'11". Her robe is just above my erect cock and there's blood all over my face. And I'm fully falling apart, truly embarrassed. I'm like, I'll never have sex again. And she, and my girlfriend is trying to calm me down. And I just say to her, like thinking I'm being funny, I'm like, I always heard women bled the first time they had sex. And it's like, crickets raised their volume from the neighborhood. And I was like, that did not go over well.
Oh, man. That is a great first, man. That's a good one. Solid story.
Yeah. It hasn't gotten much better in the last 30 years, but I'm trying.
Did you at any point that night continue to actually try to have sex with her?
We put our mouths on each other's genitals eventually. But the addendum, the other epilogue to this story is we eventually, you know, we had this built up and I'm like, oh, that would have been a romantic night to lose my virginity because we had like a date and I was back from vacation. But the way I lost my virginity was we were both off fourth period from school. She had a car. We drove to her house. We fucked on her bunk bed. It took me like she had a cold. It took me 1 minute and we went back to school. And I was like, oh, my God, I lost my virginity at lunch in like the least flattering way. Then she comes up to me at the end of school and she's like, I have to go straight to work. But we left all the condoms and like wrappers and napkins and paper towels out on my dresser. And I was like, oh, my God. She's like, you need to go into my house, break into my house. You know, the window that doesn't lock.
Oh, my God.
So I had to have my buddy who had his license before me drive me to my girlfriend's house the day I lost my virginity, break into her house and steal my own cum back.
Oh, like, my God.
And I get in the car and I'm like, so, if, you know, when you're a kid and you do anything that's bad, you're like, go, go, go. Like, I jump in the car. I go to my friend Sanford. I'm like, drive, 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 drive. And he's like, go. And he peels out. And we're driving down Newbridge Road back to my house. And he's like, I'm like, oh, I can't believe we did it. He's like, are you still holding on to all? And I look down and I have like a wad of napkins and used condoms and shit. And he's like, get rid of that. I'm like, oh, right. Like roll, throw it out on the highway is the grossest litter I've ever done in my last this. Litter, but nastiest ever.
Worst heist movie ever.
Yeah. Come 11. Comes 11 would have been better. Fuck. Edit that in. Tip to lip. Comes 11. Thank you.
James.
Sir, I just want you to know that you're the only person who should ever be allowed to have a Long Island tattoo. Everything you have said to me is the most Long Island shit ever. Out of someone who lives in Brooklyn and is from Bay, bravo to you, sir. I don't know how, other than having like Jets quarterbacks numbers tattooed around your neck, I don't know how you top this shit. I don't. I fucking don't.
All right, so we're gonna run around and do plugs. So I know that you have obviously the Action Boys and High and Mighty podcasts. Anything else you're plugging right now?
No, and I have a season 3 of a scripted podcast called The Gino Lombardo Show. It's kind of his spinoff. That's on Stitcher Premium behind an even more complicated paywall.
Wow, you really like those complicated paywalls.
Well, guess what? If they get paid a lot of money, you get to make a little bit of money. If you have no listeners on a paid podcast, you still get paid. If you have no listeners on your free podcast, no underwear company is like reaching out, you know?
And also, by the way, kudos for getting at Gabrus on both Instagram and Twitter.
You must have
came in pretty early on those. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I had to bounce someone off the at Gabrus Twitter because I guess Gabrus is a Punjabi word that means like bros. So there's like a culture, like, I don't know. And this is me just being, you know, a white fucking dummy, but I don't know what culture speaks Punjabi, but Gabrus means like, so a lot, that's on there a lot. And a lot of my Instagram follows are random, like,
You're big in the Punjabi community for some reason.
Yeah, it sounds exciting. I don't know anything about it, and I should maybe learn more about my name.
Someone that is their last name seems to be synonymous with a certain culture, you might want to learn a little bit.
Before I find out, I'm like, either very offensive to them, or they're really offensive to, like, something's happening where, maybe I should do a Google search,
I'm saying. All right,
before I start talking about it on a pod.
James, your plugs, please.
Okay, The James Madden on Instagrams, TikTok, Commissioner Comedy Podcast, which is about comedy and the passion about comedy that I just earlier in the show said I don't care about as much as when I'm guest host on this. So whatever. Fucking,
I get it.
Just do it if you want. I love the thing. Just whatever. And I also have a single where I do a joke with a band that's very loved by the castmates of this podcast. It's called Peanut Allergy, James Madden, part of New York Comedy Club Sessions on Spotify. And my album and special is coming out. Check spot. Me fucking with the crowd while they pay the bill. Come on, baby. Yeah. And I'm going to wear a pink shirt now to tribute to you, dog, because that's tough as fuck.
By the way, I'm really very secure in your manliness that you're wearing a pink shirt. Shannon, your plugs.
Love it.
Did you want to respond to that, John?
I was just going to say, oh my God, is this a video podcast? I should have worn a shirt with sleeves.
You can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts.
And I ask everyone, Gabrus, you believe in ghosts?
Of course.
Of course, a good answer. All right. Follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. And then, of course, my other podcast, the health and wellness one that I do with the founder of Juice Press, comes out every single Monday. We're going to end with a song of the week. Why not play a Soul Asylum song since you saw them as your first? What do you want to do? What was it? Runaway Train? What was the other one that was the biggest?
What was the second single? That was the one I really liked, too. But Runaway Train's probably the one.
Was it the second single?
No, I think that Somebody to Shove was the other one. I think that was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody to Shove was good. So we'll do Somebody to Shove. And then just, you know, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and all that place. Shannon, next week, I keep saying this, we got to pick a winning review to give him a free T-shirt. And Gabrus, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. This was a blast. Yeah.
Listening to the SDR Show.
Well, you made it to another end of an SDR show. But before we go, if you enjoy this podcast, we thought you might enjoy some of the other podcasts at the Gas Digital Network. And this week, we're highlighting Irish Goodbye, the Irish Goodbye podcast with hosts Mike Cannon and Mike Feeney. Double the mics. You can find their full catalog of episodes on demand at gasdigitalnetwork.com or catch the latest 20 episodes anywhere you listen to a podcast. Here's a clip right now of the Irish Goodbye podcast direct from the Gas Digital Network.
So the guy pulls up. I'm like, there he is. He stops at the red light for, I think, a half of a second. Mm-hmm. And then the light turns green and he starts driving away, and right past that light is like a small bridge. So he pulls onto like the ramp of the bridge and stops. So I go, all right, let's go. So now my dad, Eric, and I are like going into the road, like past, like in a non-crosswalk area, across multiple lanes to get to this guy who stopped on a bridge, and then we're supposed to get in on the bridge. Erica jumps in the car first. I go to get in the car, and he's going, come on, come on. And I go, well, wait. Because there's two of us, being like, there's my dad and me. Like, this.
Right.
Because he starts, while I'm getting in the car, I have one foot on the ground, he starts driving away with Erica in the car and me, one leg in the car and hopping alongside. Meanwhile, my dad's still 10 feet behind me. So I'm like, dude, I was like, stop the fucking car. What are you doing? And I was like, it's not just her. There's two more of us. So he starts being like, there's no way. He goes, I'm not getting a ticket. And I go, and Erica's like, let's just get out of this thing. And I go, I don't know what's going on, but do not get out of it. And I sit down in it. And then my dad's like, what's happening? I was like, get in. So we sit there. He goes, I'm not taking you. I'm not taking you. I go, why? What are you talking about? And he goes, I'm not taking you. They're trying to give me a $250 ticket and all this other stuff. And I'm like, I don't know who you're talking about. There was a cop that was like, don't stop here. But then he stopped on a bridge. And right. he was like, I was waiting for you. And I'm like, no, you weren't. I was watching you on the GPS the whole time. No, you weren't. So I get into this fight with this guy. And now we're at the stalemate where he goes, like, he just puts the car in park on the bridge thing as if to like wait me out. And I'm like, buddy, this is your livelihood. I can stay here
yeah,
all fucking night.
I got all week.
I'm in your office right now. The three of us are in your office. So we're just sitting there. Eric is trying to like mediate and be like, just fucking take us home. I don't know what you're doing. I'm starting to fucking film this thing. Cause I was like, because here's what I know is going to happen. The second we get out of the car, he's going to say that like, I didn't show up or something like that and charge me like a fee. So I'm getting video evidence to be like, you're not fucking charging me for anything. I'm going to make a whole report out of this. God damn it. So we're at this stalemate and literally for over a minute, we don't move at all. And cars are like honking, going around us. I was hoping that a police would come up or whatever the fuck. So he goes, I'm not taking four people. The maximum is three people. And I go, there's only three of us in the car. What the fuck are you talking about, man? And he goes, you said there's two more people coming. And I said, yes. Me and him, us two. There's two more people. You were driving away with my wife in the car alone. You were just driving away with her, and my dad and I were going to run after the car. I was like, you're driving away. I was like, what are you doing? I was like, me and him. And he goes, no, you said there's somebody else coming. And I go, do you see anybody else? Do you see us checking back to see where the other person that was with us is coming? Like, what are you talking about? So then he like throws it in drive and starts like driving off, and I'm going like, you're mad at me. You owe me an apology and him and everything else. What are you talking about? So then it gets like, you know, my dad and Eric are both like, just leave it. Just leave it. So then we're like, so it gets to that weird quiet.
Karen can't leave it alone.
It gets to that weird quiet and no one's talking. And then this fucking guy opens his mouth again and goes, He goes, I'll just send you the $250 ticket then. I'll just send it to you. I guess that's because you want me to just stop on the bridge. And I'm like, that's when I was like, you never got a ticket, so what the fuck are you talking about? You stopped on the bridge, so what the fuck are you talking about? You drove away with my wife in the car, so what the fuck are you talking about? There's only three people here, so what the fuck are you talking about?
Title.
That's when you want to make your Irish goodbye.